It's Thursday, September 10th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. If you've been following the political news lately, you may have heard of the name Van Jones. Van Jones was an activist who was selected by President Obama to be a special advisor for green energy jobs. Well, the folks at Fox News, particularly Glenn Beck, had a problem with some of Van Jones's connections and went and unearthed some petitions he signed and some pretty radical things that he said, leading to Van Jones being forced to resign from his position. One of the connections that they didn't seem to pick up on, though, was that Van Jones spoke at the 2002 Normal National Conference. This was the same conference that Bill Maher spoke at, and Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com did a excellent job tracking down YouTube video of Van Jones's speech from 2002. So for you political junkies who might be interested, I've posted the video at stash.normal.org. I'm also excited about this weekend's edition of Normal Show Live. We'll be coming to you from our first live remote out there at Kelly Point Park in Portland, Oregon, for the 5th annual Portland Hemp Stock. Now, I'm not exactly sure who the guests will be or when they'll be on, because we're kind of doing it on an ad hoc basis. That is, whoever's not speaking on stage at the time or that we can track down, we're going to get them on Normal Show Live. But some of the potential guests include Jack Herer, the Emperor of Hemp, Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre, spoken word artist and Native American activist John Trudell, Amy Nelson and Kathy Guthrie from Folk Uke. They are the daughters of Willie Nelson and Arlo Guthrie, respectively. Chris Conrad and Mickey Norris from the West Coast Leaf newspaper and the Cannabis Consumers Campaign. Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation. Madeline Martinez, the executive director of Oregon Normal and on the Normal board. And Normal Legal Committee attorneys Paul Loney, Lee Berger, and John Lucy IV. So we'll get as many of them as we can on the panel for Normal Show Live. You'll be able to call in and ask your questions at 347-994-1810. The show goes on live at live.normal.org, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
Checking our normal calendar of events, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. The Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association is holding their All Things Cannabis seminar all this weekend in Portland, Oregon. This seminar will earn you CLE credits if you're an attorney needing your continuing legal education. Normal, Nebraska is doing some sign holding to build up public support for marijuana legalization at 16th and O Streets in Lincoln, Nebraska at the Federal Building. This weekend, the Monolith Festival is taking place at Red Rocks Amphitheater outside Denver, Colorado. Mile High Normal will be there spreading the message. Normal of Waco, Texas will be having their monthly meeting at Papa Rolo's Pizza in Waco, Texas. And as mentioned earlier, the Portland Hemp Stock will be taking place Saturday and Sunday at Kelly Point Park. Check out hempstalk.org for more details. That's H-E-M-P-S-T-A-L-K.org.
Are you okay? It's a normal shout-out.
Our shout-out today goes out to the folks in the D.C., Northern Virginia, Maryland, Delaware areas. I wanted to remind you, I will be in Washington, D.C., September 20th through the 22nd, and I'm looking to gather folks together who are interested in starting a normal chapter in those mid-Atlantic states. So send me an email at stash@normal.org, and we'll see what we can put together. I've already heard from a couple of you, and I want to get as many people as possible to make the trips worthwhile. So please, stash@normal.org, and give me some subject like DC meeting or something that will make me be able to pick it out really easily. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your hemp headlines and the release of the 2008 National Surveys on Drug Use and Health. The verdict is in: more folks like marijuana than last year. The Forest Service has called out on the carpet for racial profiling in their details of potential Mexican campers who might be illegal marijuana growers. And the UK's New Scientist magazine provides the reasoning for legalizing drugs. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we continue our urban theme this week, and we bring you a song by Blazin' called Mercaverse. And for our Thursday Southern California Scene, very timely interview today with Terry Joyce and DeJay Couty from the Patients Advocacy Network, giving some boots-on-the-ground information about the San Diego raids that took place yesterday, over 20 of them by last count. DeJay's got all the details. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. The 2008 National Survey on Drug Use and Health. American use of marijuana on the rise. The 2008 National Survey on Drug Use and Health was released today. This is the annual survey where federal surveyors go door to door asking people if they smoke, drink, and do drugs. So keep in mind as you review these figures that these represent people aged 12 and older who are willing to admit to breaking state and federal laws when asked by a total stranger at their doorstep. Lifetime use of marijuana. In 2007, 40.6% of Americans admitted to trying cannabis at least once in their life. This year, the figure rose to 41%, representing an additional 2 million Americans who've smoked pot, for a total of 102,404,000. Youth marijuana use rose for 12, 13, and 15-year-olds and declined slightly for 14, 16, and 17-year-olds. At ages 18 and 19, lifetime use topped 40%, and for adults in their 20s, over half have tried marijuana, except for age 20, which was at 49.8%. Lifetime use figures for 30-somethings declined to mid-48% levels. The highest lifetime use rates were reported among Americans in their 40s, with 55.1% of those 40 to 44 and 57.6% of those 45 to 49 having experimented a time or two in their youth, as President Bill Clinton once said. More than half, or 53.2%, of people in their early 50s have tried marijuana. If you meet someone aged 20 to 55, flip a coin. Heads, they've smoked pot. Tails, they know someone who has. Regular adult use of marijuana. Focusing now only on adults aged 18 and older, we find that 43.7% of all adults, a record 98,296,000 people, have tried marijuana. But also, past year or annual and past month use of marijuana has risen among adults. A full 10% of adults used marijuana at least once in the past year, 22,531,000 people. And a full 6% of all adults have consumed cannabis in the past month, 13,546,000. This represents 593,000 new annual tokers and 784,000 new monthly tokers since the 2007 survey. Is it really conceivable that 10% of the American people are criminals this year? The current U.S. prison population is 2.1 million. Is it really possible that this month there are almost 6.5 times more criminals on the streets than behind bars? Prevalence of adult marijuana use. For the 22.5 million adults who used marijuana this year, we find those users to be using more often. Among 18 to 25-year-olds, infrequent use, or less than 12 days a year, dropped from 31.9% to 30.6%, and for those 26 and older, it dropped from 34.1% to 33%. Among annual users, 41.1% of 18 to 25-year-old tokers and 39.2% of the over 25-year-old tokers are using at least 100 days per year. That makes over 9 million adults who are using marijuana at least 100 days per year and over 3.5 million adults who are nearly daily or 300 plus days per year tokers. That means there are more adult daily tokers than the population of Connecticut. There are more adult weekly tokers than the population of New Jersey. There are more adult monthly tokers than the population of New York. And there are more people in America who've tried marijuana than the populations of California, Texas, New York, and Florida combined. U.S. Forest Service slammed for racial profiling of Mexican campers. From thinkprogress.org. The U.S. Forest Service issued and then retracted a Labor Day warning advising hikers to, quote, beware of campers in national forests drinking Tecate beer, eating tortillas, and playing Spanish music, end quote, because, quote, they could be armed marijuana growers, end quote. A high-ranking Forest Service official in Colorado also identified people speaking Spanish and eating Spam or tuna as, quote, warning signs of possible drug trafficking, end quote. The warnings, which were issued as part of a slideshow presentation for law enforcement officials and the general public, came after police arrested two people for allegedly growing 14,500 marijuana plants in a Colorado forest. However, little information about the case has been disclosed, including the names of the defendants. Polly Baca, co-chairwoman of the Colorado Latino Forum, has accused the U.S. Forest Service of racial profiling and says the warning is discriminatory and could put Hispanic campers in danger. Julian Ross, executive director of the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition, further added, quote, all Coloradans, and in particular elected lawmakers, should restrain from blaming entire communities for the acts of a few individuals because a perpetrator's immigration status has nothing to do with propensity for criminal action. Such policies do not prevent crime and erode community trust. Research shows immigrants to be far less likely to commit crimes than native-born citizens and to actually contribute to making neighborhoods safer. Lawmakers concerned about the drug trade would be better served focusing on lessening the demand for drugs in their local district than scapegoating immigrants, end quote. Hank Cashton, associate chief of the U.S. Forest Service, apologized on behalf of his colleagues. Quote, it is inexcusable, and we regret that this insensitivity distracted attention from the real problem of illegal marijuana cultivation on federal lands and the threats to human safety and environmental degradation it poses, end quote. Well, Chief Cashton, we've got the perfect solution for you. Let us grow the marijuana domestically. We'll be glad to grow it and speak all sorts of languages while we do so. English, Spanish, French, German, Vietnamese, Thai, Russian, it don't matter. The problem is not Mexican immigrants. The problem is prohibition. UK's New Scientist magazine, A Better World, Legalize Drugs. So far this year, about 4,000 people have died in Mexico's drug war, a horrifying toll. If only a good fairy could wave a magic wand and make all illegal drugs disappear, the world would be a better place. Dream on. Recreational drug use is as old as humanity and has not been stopped by the most draconian laws. Given that drugs are here to stay, how do we limit the harm they do? The evidence suggests most of the problems stem not from the drugs themselves, but from the fact that they are illegal. The obvious answer, then, is to make them legal. The argument most often deployed in support of the status quo is that keeping drugs illegal curbs drug use among the law-abiding majority, thereby reducing harm overall. But a closer look reveals that this really doesn't stand up. In the UK, as in many countries, the real clampdown on drugs started in the late 1960s. Yet, government statistics show that the number of heroin or cocaine addicts seen by health service has grown ever since, from around 1,000 people per year then to 100,000 today. It is a pattern that has been repeated the world over. A second approach to the question is to look at whether fewer people use drugs in countries with stricter drug laws. In 2008, the World Health Organization looked at 17 countries and found no such correlation. The U.S., despite its punitive drug policies, has one of the highest levels of drug use in the world. A third strand of evidence comes from what happens when a country softens its drug laws, as Portugal did in 2001. While dealing remains illegal in Portugal, personal use of all drugs has been decriminalized. The result? Drug use has stayed roughly constant, but ill health and deaths from drug taking have fallen. Quote, judged by virtually every metric, the Portuguese decriminalization framework has been a resounding success, end quote, states a recent report by the Cato Institute, a libertarian think tank based in Washington, D.C. When the evidence is so completely obvious regarding the need to legalize marijuana and regulate hard drugs, it is hard to avoid invoking conspiracy theory as to why we continue to maintain prohibition. You'd think some sectors of our economy are in such need of more arrests, more prisoners, more prisons, and more crime and mayhem that they would actively oppose changing our drug policies to protect their profits. You'd think some sectors of our economy would be at such a competitive disadvantage against a grow-your-own medicine, food, fuel, fiber, and plastics plant that most couldn't survive if we ended prohibition. You'd think that some sectors of our government that are unwilling or unable to help the disaffected poor need the underground economy and jobs market provided by illegal drugs. But that would be just crazy conspiracy theory talk, right? The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling while promoting the message of reform. To donate your song for possible use on the stash, enter it in the next Marijuana Music Awards contest today. Today's urban music is from Blazin with his song, Mercaverse. Blazin, from the UK, is big in the urban music scene. He has performed with well-known artists across the UK and hosts the monthly Urban Sensation Nights. Blazin is the first rapper to perform at Her Majesty's Theatre in London. He says, quote, I want to be the first UK rap artist to break through into the mainstream, end quote. Blazin is well known for his larger-than-life, energy-filled stage performances. His popularity is clear, reaching the top 10 unsigned artists on MySpace and the MySpace charts with each song. Blazin is soon releasing his first solo mixtape under the new record label British Urban Development, or BUD. For the latest about Blazin, check out myspace.com/BlazinUK, and registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Mercaverse by Blazin.
To popular demand, we're going to move into this one. Mercaverse, that's the name of the track. It's Blazin, Lil Black, and various other people we can't see right now inside. This one goes out to everybody who's been requesting. This is Blazin, Friday Night Live Show, as requested. All across the city, all across every city of the entire world, conspiracy worldwide, this is Blazin.
What's going on? It's Black, listen.
Fresh.
Spit 16 to make your man's for the lawyer. Handing fools like eggs, I cook them all, boil them. And I got the shells to make you inhale. I'm off the rail, niggas know back and they should ring bells. But I'm still on the trash by the speed of the train. I ain't game, but when the speed, you gotta feel my pain. No need to explain, stealing niggas down by the drains. It's in my chain, cause I be pumping more than your veins. Cause man can't shake, instead of knowing me crack. Crashing up, they got some teeth like it's over strapped. I'll break your back, boy, if you never win. Put your brain in the passenger side of the van. I drop bombs like spam, but I ain't Hussein. It's not that I don't know you, even your mans. I know your name, I get high, it's the plane. Get picked up in the wings. I rap for the money, man, fuck the frame. Yours black, black.
Mr. Montana, conspiracy worldwide.
I may seem a cheeky chappy, the rap's a little wacky. Lean off that wacky tabacky, but trust me, I know exactly what I'm doing. I got my strategy, and now that I am practically one of the quickest writers in rap, it seems a travesty. MC's making capital that ain't from the capital. And can't be right, the music industry's in the capital. What? Cause I ain't from LD? Mean that Blazin can make no peace? Nah, look, I can never stand for that. Get my mitts round the game and just mangle rap, strangle chaps. I've got bare fans and that, and I'm coming from all different angles. Crap, you're like, holy moly, rap's Mick Foley. Split personalities, you don't know me. Black, Bloxy, Blazin and AD. Mercaverse from the team, D.P. What? Who would have thought a team up like this? One mic, four guys all up in the mix. Spit six slick hits, causing fancy to switch. You all up in my face, I'm like Tally Ho. That's it, we got focus on the board. So you know we drop a classic. Pops up in the drop block, causing damage to your eardrums, oi bruv.
What you saying?
I'm over here, so I'm feared. One when I step up to rap, Wolfpack got my back. You know I'm Aggie and that, I rep the new era fitted. With the stickers at the back, you can't hit us on the track. Two spitters like black, yeah. That's how we work it. Bite back or get bitten if you're part of this circuit. If not, you'll get dropped at the sound of your first lick. Cause fake MCs always leaving in the hearse, kid.
MySpace.com/BlazinUK. Go check it out.
Start swinging like a bat, bat, ready for the gap, bat. Feeding up a fat twat, getting on the clutch, trying to pin your drop, cut, start. Spinning on the grave to get mugs, 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 but I couldn't give a rat's ass. Burn tracks like 25, I'm alive. Rhymes on top of the pack, it's like, what's that? Mashed up, battle, my brain blaze, the pissed off. Set the piss rules, couldn't complain, but it's bugs. Start speed, split the sin and do a death saw. The coopers took up, did the kick up in the neck, what? Stop rap, instead of the tracks, chatting like a dog, dust, cookie, you be getting. Yeah, hate crap, bruh. Lodge bus, slotting knocks on a slot. Hop a moss to the game like a chain to the no chucks. Snuffed on fucks, wanna cut my guts. The only cut that I'll be getting is a cut from a paycheck truck.
Look out for the Blazin promo. It's on its way. Dog, dog, B on this one. As we march through the wilderness, gathering an army around us. Conspiracy worldwide. Thank you once again to AC, the program director, for your lovely comment just there. Really enjoying himself tonight. He said, this is the message you sent us, saying that I'm taking inspiration from this show, and it will definitely influence what I do in the future. That's from AC, the program director. Thank you very much again for that.
Weed.
That's Hoovy Valley, Hoovy Hub.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
Well, you can tell by the headlines that we broadcast on the Normal Daily Audio Stash yesterday that there's a lot going on between law enforcement and the cannabis businesses in California and Colorado. We're going to talk about that here, but first let's say hi to our good friend Terry Joyce. Hello, Terry.
Hello, how are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, but from what I hear in Southern California, especially Southern California, things aren't so good. What do you have for us lately here, Terry?
Well, we do have a DJ Kuti to speak on what's been going on here. We've had several raids in San Diego recently, and DJ has been right on the forefront of helping, and she has all of the information here. So let's just get right to it and bring her on.
All right, DJ, welcome back to the stash.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Okay, first of all, we'll remind everyone that you're with the Patients Advocacy Network and the website.
I'm a director with the Patient Advocacy Network. We're a 501c3 patient advocacy and education organization based out of Los Angeles, and the vast majority of our work is done here in Southern California. And yesterday, about midday, I started getting telephone calls that the patients thought that there were the beginnings of what looked like raids in progress. And by the end of the day yesterday, we had some of the media reporting anywhere between 14 and 20 raids in progress. They appeared to all take place at the dispensaries themselves. I don't have any word as to if anyone was raided at their home, which also sometimes happens in conjunction with a dispensary raid. But what we did learn is that the District Attorney Bonnie DeManis in San Diego County held a press conference earlier with the DA, the DEA, the U.S. Attorney, the IRS, the Sheriff's Department, and the San Diego Police Department, saying that they did indeed execute warrants, and that the warrants were a result of a four-month undercover investigation to shut down businesses that were operating under the guise of selling medical cannabis, but they are contending that they were just illegal drug operations. And so we will see how their attorneys for these collectives pursue the defense of their clients.
Is this a continuance of this Operation Green RX, Operation Endless Summer stuff that Eugene Davidovich and the other lady have been facing down there?
No, this is something completely different.
Okay.
And this is it stemmed from the fact that once the Attorney General made the announcement, we're talking about our United States Attorney General, stating that there would be no more raids. This really empowered communities where they've had problems trying to have dispensaries. In places like Fresno, for example, Fresno is kind of a medical cannabis no man's land, but now they've got a blossoming of dispensaries there, and that's pretty much what happened in San Diego. And there's been mention through the public safety committee there, as well as the city clerk's office and the sheriff's department, that illegal operations would be dealt with. And the unfortunate thing about San Diego is granted, they've always been great risk takers in doing this, but they've never had a good plan for when the other shoe drops. And unfortunately, in San Diego, that other shoe always seems to drop.
Mm-hmm. Who's taking the lead on this? These raids? Is this local San Diego police, county, or is it DEA, or are they both involved?
It's San Diego, because of their proximity to the border, seems to almost always use a joint task force. And like I said, just by the title of the press release here, it's the DA, the DEA, the U.S. Attorney, the IRS, the sheriff, and the SDPD serve warrants. So the warrants came from all of those entities.
So do they charge these collectives and dispensaries? Are they charging them with violations of state law? Is this a tax issue? Are they not following SB 420 or Jerry Brown guidelines? What's their tack here? What's their point?
I believe their point is, and this is going to be such an interesting thing to prove in court, is that these collectives were not operating under the spirit of our state law, and that they were running these entities as for-profit operations.
Okay. And does that, that...
I still don't see this as a criminal. It still seems like this is almost like white-collar crime in a way. It seems like there would be another approach to get people to fall into compliance with paying state tax or... I've heard that part of it is income tax, that they're coming after them for not paying income tax. But a lot of that is speculation. You know, I haven't read any of the search warrant affidavits to know, you know, I'm going after, going based on the statements made at a press conference this morning. And it'll be interesting to see how each individual dispensary is going to be handled.
Mm. Now, I read some reports from the San Diego blog, City Beat down there, and they spoke to someone at one of the collectives, and the way he described the raid is it sounded like the typical, you know, knock down the doors, scare the hell out of everyone, guns drawn, full body armor kind of thing. Is that what you're hearing as well?
That's the way all raids go down.
Yeah, yeah. And so...
You know, yeah, it's not Ding Dong Avon is here. You know, no, they kick in the door. They are anticipating... they're trained to anticipate that on the other side of that door, you know, are guns and dogs and things of that nature. So, yeah, they come in. And they come in, you know, ready to collect their, you know, their triple time and a half with their hazmat gloves and masks and their goggles and their helmets and their fleck vests. And they get paid good money when they get to dress up like that.
Mm-hmm. And I guess what I'm getting at here is in the past when we've had a lot of these raids, the point of them have been more federalized and more DEA. And so as a drug operation, so to speak, they feel, you know, that it's necessary to go in with the guns the guns out and the armor and so on. But if these are state level problems and we're talking about taxes and paperwork and compliance, it seems to me that the whole guns drawn thing is a bit overkill for something that's really, like you said, white collar.
I agree.
No,
I agree with that, Russ.
Yeah, totally agree. No, absolutely. I totally agree. It's very heavy-handed. And I really think that, you know, one of the things that law enforcement is quoted as saying yesterday when they were conducting the raids is, we're doing this again tomorrow. We're going to hit 10 a week every week until we get rid of everybody. And it sounds like what the police want to do is just scare everybody in the closing so they don't actually have to go into these kinds of raids. But I think it's truly a fear tactic. It's truly a way to terrorize patients and make them afraid to open their dispensary doors or go to their favorite dispensary, and it's just patient terrorism.
Yeah. This is something Eugene Davidovich wrote about in his blog as well, where he quoted some of the officers involved as saying, we're going to shut you people down, you medical pot people is what they called them. We're going to shut you people down. What is the strategy now for fighting back against this and getting them to recognize the will of the voters of California?
It's a very good question, and even, you know, we've not even really gotten into what's been going on in Los Angeles, but, you know, nobody has really put forth a lawsuit to challenge this yet, and unfortunately, I think at least what I'm hearing is a lot of people right now are very either mistrusting or just outright disgusted by the attorneys that promote themselves as being 420 lawyers. And because so many of these dispensaries have opened for one reason or another in one location or another in Southern California and then ended up getting fined, you know, we got one dispensary being fined $100 a day. We've got the dispensaries in the Devonshire division of L.A. being raided because the police there just seem to think that they can change California state law. And, you know, we've got all these people who filed hardships in LA that are having them denied. And a lot of these people went to attorneys and paid anywhere between $5,000 and $80,000 for advice and support and to complete paperwork and to ensure, at least in the mind of the dispensary operator, that they had now a legitimate business. And then when something like this happens, like what happened in San Diego or, you know, the hardship hearings having their applications denied, a lot of people are now leery about hiring those same attorneys again to launch any type of challenge against any city.
Hmm. What a complex mess we've got going on here. And it's not just San Diego. You mentioned L.A. and also Colorado?
Yeah, there were some raids. I don't have a lot of details about the raids in Colorado, other than reading about them on the online. But yeah, it sounds as though the DEA has taken some of their first swipes at Colorado, and they did something similar in New Mexico right after New Mexico passed their law as well. We had a couple grow operations that were raided there. So yeah, the states that are newer to being medical marijuana states are starting to feel some of the same growing pains that we've been experiencing here in California for the last 13 years.
Hmm. Now, Terry, I just want to ask you, since you speak with a lot of patients there in Southern California and you're involved in the scene there, what has the effect of these latest raids been on the patient community? How are everyone feeling out there?
I think mainly, we're confused by it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we felt that with, the Attorney General, Eric Holder, calling off the raids, that things were getting better to us. So I think that we kind of are beginning to, there's a little bit, we're not as faithful as we were to the Obama administration, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We're questioning, the power of our own government. Does our government have a lack of control now over the DEA? Not as much as we thought. We were just kind of like not understanding really what's happening.
Yeah, it almost seems like since the Holder announcement, it was less of the raids are going to stop and more of the raids are going to continue. It's just we're not going to be in charge of them. Does that sound about right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It feels like that. How I feel about it as a patient is I am also questioning the ethics of some of the dispensaries as well. I mean, are they not up to code? I think that there's a complete across the board different take on what marijuana is and what it is to the community and how it is as it is it's a healing plant. There's people that are conscious about it, and I think there are people that are actually out there to make a profit and are treating it as if it is a drug. Mm. I'm not sure that mentality doesn't exist.
Yeah.
If I'm making any sense.
No, I understand.
So, yeah.
Well, there's so much gray area that, it's amazing how many people think that I have a recommendation, I have cannabis, and therefore now anything I do with this is legal.
Right. Right. So,
you have people starting delivery services or starting little collectives and not understanding that now the state wants a whole other set of paperwork demonstrating a closed circuit collective running in a non-for-profit manner. And I really think that, I hope that at some point someone is going to launch the appropriate lawsuit that is going to demand the clarification that we need on a state and local level so that patients are not experiencing this type of enforcement at the end of a barrel of a gun.
Yeah. Now, DeJ, to Terry's point about some people having different attitudes with regard to cannabis and medical cannabis dispensing here, do you have any personal view on is it a case of a few bad apples spoiling the bunch, or would it even matter? I mean, if everyone followed the letter of the law perfectly, would it even matter? Would we still have these raids?
I think we would, because the problem is we have rogue law enforcement officers. I mean, we have a pretty, even though things here in LA are just as an example, are still up in the air, we do have acknowledgement from City Hall that shutting down dispensaries that have registered in any way with the city, even that's filing one of these quote-unquote illegitimate hardships, the procedure for dealing with them is going to be civil. They're going to have a hearing. Most likely they'll be denied. Building and Safety is going to verify whether or not they're still open. If they are, the case gets sent over to the city attorney's office. The city attorney will issue a cease and desist and start fining them day by day. Then if at that point the collective refuses to shut down, then the LAPD should probably come and shut them down. However, what we have going on in the Devonshire Division is none of that is going on, and the LAPD believes, quote-unquote, that all sales of medical cannabis are illegal. They believe that they've got some court case that proves this, and they are kicking in doors and throwing patients to the floor and handcuffing them and arresting them and tearing up their business licenses.
Hmm. Now, since the...
So all it takes, basically, is what I'm saying there, is it only takes a few rogue cops anywhere to turn an entire community on its head by disregarding the state and local policies.
Yeah. Do you have any estimate on, since the election of Barack Obama and the change of administration as to how many of these raids have gone down?
Well, given what we've seen recently, probably at least 30.
Wow. 30 raids at least. Wow.
You know, we had the one in San Diego, and we've had a couple other on gardens up there. And then, you know, we've had a handful here in Los Angeles, and then 20 yesterday in San Diego. So 30 is probably a very low estimate. It's between 30 and 40 raids since Eric Holder made that announcement.
Wow. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss, like the WHO used to say. Dejay Kate,
as people say, they tell Obama, you can keep the change.
Yeah, you can keep the change. Well, Dejay Kuti from Patients Advocacy Network, let me give you a chance to give the website address out again for people.
They can find us at cannabissaveslives.com. They can make a donation there directly. We're a 501c3. It's tax deductible, and our organization's other contact information is there if anybody has any questions or needs.
All right. Please donate so that we can get these court challenges going and get some support for the people that are doing everything they can to try to be legitimate business owners and run legitimate dispensaries down there in California. And Terry Joyce, of course, you are always performing, always doing something exciting. What's next up on your plate?
Well, I just, you know what, I'm coming up to the normal conference, actually.
Oh, that's
in San Francisco.
Right. That's right.
To be with you guys on the 24th. So that's really my next big deal going on.
All right. Well, we'll keep everyone in touch here. We'll talk to you next week. And Terry Joyce and Dejay, thanks so much for joining us again on the show.
Thanks, Russ.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org.